We are going to continue our series this morning entitled All Hands on Deck, Discovering and Using Your Spiritual Gifts. And the All Hands on Deck verbiage is used because I feel like this is urgent. Because Scripture says to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Not just to read about them occasionally in your Bible when you flip through and when it happens to be that day for devotions. But to earnestly desire, not just talk about them, not just think about them, not only just pray about them, but to be after them. Because this is a part of our identity. This is a part of your identity. Who God has made you to be and the way that you are called and empowered to benefit the body of Christ, both current body of Christ and to be body of Christ. I like to look at people who don't yet know Christ by saying they're just not yet believers, right? I don't like to say they're not, because that has some implication that there's a possibility that they won't be. But I like to say that there's potential there, right? And I believe that's how Jesus sees us.
My Lord!
Come on now. We've been a few places in the series, so I just want to recap some of it. And y'all can give me a hand if you're able. We talked about what spiritual gifts are. Do you remember what they are? I know you guys are pulling out your iPhones, your notes. What are they? They are God-given supernatural ability. What does that mean that they are not? They are not
skills
and talents, which I kept saying last week. And I was listening to the replay and I'm like, man, I just kept saying it. Okay, they are not skills, things that we were born and were able to do, that would be talents. They're not talents and they are not skills, things that we have worked on so hard to be able to do. And now because I've worked so many years at it, all of my 32 years, does that make anyone feel old? Just kidding. Or young. Huh? They're not talents or skills. They are God-given supernatural abilities. And these gifts are to flow from a place called love, L-O-V-E, right? So these gifts are not for building myself up, making me look good, popping the collar, right? It's not for that. It's to build up this body. And just like this metaphor that we've been using for building up a body, right? When we're going to pump some iron, we want to do what? Low weight, high reps, right? To tone the muscle, but we want to do high weight, low reps also to build and add to. And so the same thing with these spiritual gifts, right? We want to be able to build up what's here and add to the body of Christ. And that's what these gifts are for. Last week, we finished up talking, it was a couple weeks back now. We finished up talking about the resident motivation gifts. And these are gifts that as we give our lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, we become new creations in Jesus Christ, that, and we're living a life yielded to the Holy Spirit, that He's going to use us and work through us these specific gifts. And so the whole implication was that each of us have one. As we look around this room, we can say, you are valuable in the kingdom of God. You are valuable here in this room. You are valuable, and I'll take it a step further. We need you to be who God has created you to be. Right? What was the hashtag we used? Hashtag rise up, say up. Right? Rise up to who God is calling you to be and live right there. Because this is who God has empowered you to be. We need you to be that. Rise up, stay up. And so, as we talked about each of these gifts, I want to take a moment and just recall with me, for those of you who may know the gifts, or those of you who were here during the message series, if you missed any of these, you can always go back to the podcast and listen through them. But just think through, was this you? Was this you? Was this gift yours? Prophecy. Were you someone who was constantly thinking, this is a resident gift that just flows from your life, this is an immediate thing that you do, prophecy. Were you someone who's always thinking about what's God saying here? What is God saying through this? What's God saying through this? Oh, I just saw this person on the street and it made me think of this. What is God saying through this situation? Is that you? Is it acts of service? You're always thinking about how you can serve other people. Teaching. Right? How can I can solve all the world's problems by simply giving some information. That's me. I feel like I can just teach my way out of anything. Gifts of encouragement. You're always trying to encourage someone. You have the ability to walk into a room and see someone in the situation they're in, and you're always trying to think, what's going to build them up? What's going to encourage them? What's going to just like push them down the ice? I'm thinking, what is that, curling? Yeah. What's going to get that? It's like a giant puck in my mind. There's probably a technical term. My apologies if that's offensive. Are you a giver? Are you always thinking about, I just want to provide for these people. I want to give this. I want to give this. Maybe it's leadership. You gather people together in order to accomplish a mission. Or gifts of mercy. You're always, you've got the father heart that's just bleeding out all over the place. So which one of these is you? Which one of these? Or which gift mix makes up who you are? I just want to take a moment right now. And I want the Lord to just speak into our hearts. And I'm also going to pray for this message. Because while I can teach, ultimately, He's the best teacher. He's the one who's going to take my words and actually make them beneficial in your hearts. So, Father, we come this morning. We yield our lives. We want to be fully used by You. God, don't help me just to get out of the way. Help each of us to get out of the way and yield our lives to You. Holy Spirit, would You come and teach us this morning? And as I pray that over You, would You just pray that Yourself? You don't have to articulate it out loud, but just ask the Lord to teach You this morning. I just want to leave a moment of silence for You to be able to do that. God, we want to be changed and shaped this morning. Also, Lord, would You highlight the gifts that You've created us with, these resident motivation gifts. Help us to see which ones that You've gifted us with, so that we can live according to our true identity as You've created us, to be useful and beneficial to the body of Christ. It's for Your glory that we gather this morning and teach in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down or type into your phone what you believe that your gift is. I just want to solidify this. I don't want us to leave without really acknowledging that this is okay. This is the way God created me. Or maybe you're just a really good thinker and you're going to remember this. For me, like, I'm so visual that I can put like the gift of teaching in my mind and I can see it, and it's almost like a stamp that I'm just going to see there for the rest of the day. But if that's you, I encourage you to do that also. So those were the resident motivation gifts we find in Romans 12. We also talked about ministry gifts last week. That Jesus has a vision for a diverse church. As we look around this room, we are diverse, right? You look different than you, and you look different from me, and we are all different. We all have different functions, right? Jesus has a vision for a diverse church, but a unified church.
Amen.
And in order to build this church, He has given the fivefold ministry gifts found in Ephesians 4. These are the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And these are to equip the church to do ministry. Equip the saints to do ministry. Right? So again, I'm going to beat this nail until it's all the way in. But there's this concept that goes around that says that ministry should be done by the guy standing up front with the flip over hair. Right? Ministry should be done by this guy up here. But the truth of the scripture is that ministry is the work of the church. That we are all to be empowered. That we are all to be representatives of Jesus. That when we step into our schools, our workplaces, anywhere, that we are going to represent Jesus to the world around us. And He's put His Holy Spirit in us to enable us to do that.
Amen.
So this week we're going to move on from the ministry gifts and talk about the manifestation gifts. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read this out loud. I'll also have the scriptures up on screen. It says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." Right? So he's saying this is important for you to know. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So if you're wondering, how do we identify the authentic from the inauthentic when it comes to spiritual gifts? Is it glorifying to Jesus Christ? Is it saying Jesus is Lord over all? Or is it saying Jesus is accursed? What's the motivation? What's the heart of these spiritual gifts that are taking place? Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everybody. I love looking at this. In my Bible, I've got Spirit underlined and highlighted, and Lord underlined and highlighted, and God highlighted and underlined, because it just highlights the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there. Bam! Oh, it's so good. I just love it when Scripture lays it out for you. Verse 7. To a couple of us is given manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It says, to each is given manifestation of the Spirit for a couple of our good. For the common good. Right? So each of us is given and has the ability to walk in a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body in its entirety. For to one is given through the Spirit utterances of wisdom. And here we get to list some of these manifestation gifts. Utterances of wisdom, or words of wisdom. And to another, utterances of knowledge, or words of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. And it's important that he articulates that, because Paul's writing to these people in the city of Corinth with a polytheistic Greco-Roman background, with these many gods and many different spirits who are going to empower them to do these many of different things. So he's making it clear. No, it's one God, one Spirit, right, that is empowering you to do these things. Amen. To another is given faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. You'll also hear it said as the discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of these tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So as we're reading through this, we know that Paul spent about a year and a half with these people in the city of Corinth. And this letter is being written some four to 5 years after the fact. And he's hearing some negative things about what's going on in this church. There's immorality, there's abuse of spiritual gifts, there's all this pride that's puffing up in people. And then there's this thing called division. Have you guys noticed that recently? I heard someone recently say, I'm so surprised at the division within the body of Christ and the division across the world. And I'm just like, have you read your Bible? Right? Like, okay, so we read Romans, and there was a highlight of unity. We read through Ephesians, and there was a highlight of unity. And then here it is again. Right? Division is common within the body of Christ. Division has been the consistent norm, and unity has been God's consistent call. Right? We all look different. We all act different. We all think different. But we're called to unity in the body of Christ. Right? The glue that holds us all together is that we're all after Jesus. And we're all going to have different ideas about how things should play out with the different laws in effect. We're all going to have different ideas about the way things should be politically run. But there's unity in the body of Christ because we're all ultimately after glorifying Him and representing Him and representing Him well. Division has been the consistent norm, and unity has been God's consistent call. I want to share some principles for the manifestation gifts. When we're talking about manifestation, it's a word that we don't often use. I kind of feel like a good preacher using it, though, right? It's like manifestation. You get a little bit of spit out, and it just feels like a good preacher, right? My Lord. But manifestation is essentially God making His presence known. Right? That as we would come together and gather, that He would manifest His presence next to us or here with us. That we would know that God is real and that God is here. This is what these gifts are for. They are expressions of the Holy Spirit as the first principle of these gifts. We also see, number two, that manifestation gifts are a benefit to the whole church. We see this being depicted a little bit further as you would read on into the next couple chapters of 1 Corinthians. That some people are speaking in tongues in the midst of a whole bunch of non-believers who don't really understand what's going on, and it's kind of pushing them away. It's creating division, again, within the church. And that's not a benefit to the whole church. So this is a distinguisher between these spiritual gifts. Is this to be used in front of everybody? Is it for the benefit of everybody? These gifts are for the common good. Number three, the manifestation gifts address the needs of the whole church. As I come on Sunday morning and throughout the week, I'm constantly praying for you guys. I told you this before, but it's not a fully photographic memory, but I take little snapshots in my mind of the faces, your beautiful faces, looking back at me, and I'm praying for you throughout the week. And, oh, you're welcome. You get an extra prayer. But even with that, even with me paying attention and being intentional about praying for each one of you, I simply don't know everything that you need. And I don't know what you need here this morning to encounter God. But God does. The Holy Spirit does. And I think that's incredible, because He knows the exact thing that we need just to encounter Him, to fall on our face, those exact words and spoken in the exact ways that is just going to knock me over in awe of Him. So manifestation gifts address the needs of the whole church. And here's my favorite part. And this is what we've been getting at a whole bunch in these spiritual gifts, is that manifestation gifts are available to the whole church, right? They're available to each one of us, as we would simply, as He would see the need within our body, right? He's going to empower each of us to be able to do these gifts. So I want to talk about these gifts now. Let's look at these different gifts, and we're just going to break them down. I have no idea how far we're going to get into these today, but we'll just work through them as time allows. Let's start with the utterances of knowledge or word of knowledge. Again, I don't really say utterances. Maybe it's a word I'll start using. Right. Zadok, did you hear my utterance? Write that down. I like that. So word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a specific message with factual information about someone or something that is given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not like a word of knowledge that like I'm talking to Hal before service and this is theoretical, but he says like, oh, I've got a pain in my hip, and then I show up on here in front of the church and say, I just have this word of knowledge that Hal has a pain in his hip. Right? That it don't work like that. Right, that's me listening, paying attention, and having a memory, right? Which is still a good thing to have. Don't throw that out. But word of knowledge is something given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, something that there's no way that I could possibly know. We see this in Jesus Himself in John chapter 1. He goes and is inviting these people to follow Him, right? His disciples. He goes to Philip and Andrew or Peter and Andrew. Which was funny. Before I got saved, I didn't realize that there was a connection between those two names. And then I swam competitively for 11 years. And there were these twins, Peter and Andrew. And then as I gave my life to the Lord, I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys' names are so cool. Because you guys are brothers, and they were brothers in the Bible. Okay. And they didn't think it was that cool, but I thought it was awesome. I still think it's pretty cool. So Jesus is inviting these disciples, Peter and Andrew, and then He invites Philip, and Philip goes to get his brother Nathanael, and he says, "Look, we found Jesus of Nazareth. We have found the Messiah. We found the one. He's here. Come and see." And Nathanael says to Him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like seriously?" And he walks up And Jesus looks at him and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And this blows my mind. "Before Philip called you," Jesus says, "when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Like, there's no way Jesus was not by that fig tree. Right? So he's way over here, and God speaks through him and gives him this word of knowledge that he knows where he was at when Philip came to get him. Like, right? We see some other references in John 4:13 and Acts 5. You're welcome to go back and read through those. But as we look at some of these functions of words of knowledge, we can see it in healing. I was recently at this church in Louisiana. Pastor Ben Dixon sitting up or teaching from up front. I'm in the front row, and I sit in the front row because I have a little bit of that ADD thing where if I see someone in front of me doing something, I'm like, "Ooh, what do they got going on in their notes? What are they writing down?" Right. So I'm in front because I need my attention to be on what's going down. Right. So if you ever wonder why I'm trying to sit in front all the time, that's why. So I'm sitting in front, and the pastor of this church is a couple seats away from me, and I start getting this back pain. Now, I have a history of some lower back pain. I'm praying and believing that God is going to heal me of it completely. I see the chiropractor as well, so I believe in the good physician, and I believe in physicians as well. It wasn't that type of pain, though. I'm like, what is this? It's just like a sharp pain. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, well, this is abnormal. It came out of nowhere, so... God, could it be that you're trying to show me something? Is it like some sort of word of knowledge here? And I mean, this is a couple of weeks ago, right? So I'm just start praying. I'm like, Lord, if this happens to be someone in the vicinity who has this pain right now, I just pray, because we're to pray for the sick, yeah? So we pray for the sick, and God's going to heal them. And so I'm praying, just heal him. Heal him, heal him, heal him. And I keep praying that until the pain is gone. I'm like, okay, all right. Cool, I'm done. I just don't think anything of it from then on out. But then I see the pastor sitting a few seats next to me, and he's kind of doing some funky stuff. I'm like, what's this guy doing? Like, I mean, is this like the dance? I don't know if this is the culture or like what's going on. And I'm like, okay. After the service, the pastor gets up and says, "Thank you, Pastor Ben Dixon, for sharing, and thank you for your friend, Pastor Ben Ramos, over here, because I know you were praying for me, and my back got healed just then and there." I'm like, what? What? Say it again. Right? He got healed because of a word of knowledge, something that there's no way that I could have possibly known that he was going through unless I'm sitting there like eyeing him and watching him. Right? Which I wasn't, I promise. That would have just come off weird anyways. Right? So words of knowledge can help for healing. They can help in deliverance too. It's funny. A little bit more of my history and my past. I've had some depression in the past. I've dealt with anxiety quite a bit, even as of late. I know what these things feel like. And so I'll go into situations sometimes, and even though I go through that, the Lord's using it for good because He happens to do that. Amen? And He'll cause me to think of that feeling and realize that someone in this area is feeling that exact thing. And so He'll use me to minister out of that often. So I'll have a word of knowledge that these people are anxious, even though it's something that I suffer with. Right? But He'll still use it. And so I'll go into a situation and say, I just feel like the Lord is saying that there is someone in here dealing with depression. Or someone in here who really struggles sleeping at night, and you haven't slept in days, and you just need to sleep. Right? And I'll get to pray and minister over that. So a word of knowledge can come that way in deliverance. It can also come for correction. I was at the men's retreat that we just had, and it was an awesome time. I didn't even realize it before planning on going on Saturday morning. But they were doing praying for all the pastors. So I show up. I'm like, I'm a pastor. You can pray for me. Right? So all of these men, I mean, how many were there? Do you know? Like, there were over 100 men gathered around, like these 6 or 8 pastors. Just powerful, powerful time for an extended time of prayer. And then afterwards, I didn't necessarily fully take it as correction, but a guy said, I just feel like the Lord is saying that the level of holiness that you live in is going to be equivalent of the holiness of the church. Like, you lead, and I'm not saying that fully correct, but he said that to me. And it's not like I'm lacking in, you know, as I'm standing up here and you guys are all pointing fingers. And, you know, it's not like I'm lacking in holiness, but it was just a good reminder. Like, I got to be aware, what is shaping me? How much am I allowing this world to shape my thoughts and my beliefs and my feelings versus how much I'm allowing the scriptures to shape my points of view, right? And so it was just that kind of correction. And then finally, a word of knowledge can be used for prophetic word also, which we'll get to in a little bit. The second one that Paul talks about is words of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a specific message that provides wise strategy or practical application for a specific circumstance. And so we see this kind of happen in Acts, even, where the church is rising, it's building up, there are thousands coming to know the Lord. That's funny I say that. I was telling Alicia a story. I'm just kind of going, you guys okay? We're good? Okay. We were... It's just funny, so I got to share it. But we were at another church in Louisiana, and the pastor, we'd tell the pastor, oh yeah, this is powerful stuff. I mean, youth are coming to know the Lord, and it's powerful. They're being baptized. And he introduces me and says, yeah, this is Pastor Ben Dixon over here. He's going to be sharing. And then his partner, he refers to me as his partner, which he later cleared up, which actually made it a little more messy. And then just that was all fun in and of itself. But he goes, and his partner, Pastor Ben Ramos, and he's seeing hundreds upon hundreds of youth give their lives to Jesus. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to take that as a prophetic word. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Transformation on Casino Road in Jesus' name. Oh, man. So I just took it as that. But anyways, that was fun. I have no idea where that even came from, but it's powerful. Powerful.
Where your power comes from.
Yeah, man. So Acts 6, people were coming to the Lord in mass numbers, right? That's true. Yeah, squirrel. And so there's this, and as things grow quickly, sometimes things kind of get left in a corner and forgot about. And that's kind of what begins taking place in this church. Some of the widows, some of these widows are not being cared for. And so people come to the church leadership and they're like, hey, listen, we need to take care of these widows and we need people to be focused on them. And the leadership's like, all right, what do we do in the situation? That's what wisdom is, right? Knowing what to do in a situation. And so this specific word of wisdom, the Holy Spirit is telling them exactly what needs to take place. Because some people would look at this type of situation and say that these people are being neglected, so you, Mr. Preacher Man, need to stop what you're doing and go focus over here. When you look at that in the whole of Scripture, that's saying you shouldn't be functioning in the gifts that you're given so that you can care for this. And what really needs to take place is for the body of Christ to rise up and stay up. Right? And so those people with the gifts of service need to be empowered and released to help in this sector. And that's exactly what this word of wisdom was. It says, all right, well, we're going to keep praying and we're going to keep studying the scripture and we're going to keep preaching the gospel. And we want to empower these people in order for them to go and serve. Right? So that's kind of one of the functions that we get to do within the church. Let's look at the surrounding area. Let's look at Casino Road. Let's identify where the need is and then identify who's gifted to do what and empower them and release them. And this is what I want to be as a church. Amen. This is what I want to do as a church. Woo! Words of wisdom help with strategy, with insight, and can be quite timely. I want to just pause here real quick because I would love to just see maybe a practical example of this. So, Father, I know that you're here this morning. Manifestations of your Spirit, as we're talking about words of knowledge, things that there's no way we could know, and words of wisdom. I'd just love to see this on display this morning. Holy Spirit, not to boast in our church or us as individuals, but to glorify you, to stir up faith, O God, to reveal yourself as the true King of Kings, the true Lord of Lords, Jesus. So Ashley, I just had a kind of a vision of you, and there's like a whole bunch of different things taking place in your life. Like you're sitting there and you're thinking about you've got church, you've got YFC, you've got school and the different assignments per class, and you've got family and friends and trying, it's all just whirling around you, and you're like, oh my goodness, right? What is happening? So that would be kind of like a word of knowledge, right? Is that at all accurate? Do you kind of feel that way? Okay. And what I believe the Lord is saying for a word of wisdom, which would be direction, would be that it's going to be important for your sanity and for your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, that you begin to identify those things and start saying no to things. And this is, I mean, super practical, right? But it's just important that you hear that. And maybe that's something you've been thinking about. Should I say no to some things? There's a lot of really good opportunities. But and that's the thing. I believe that as you would say no to things now, it's going to allow you to be able to focus on some things that are really important. And I would say the focus, which would the focus right now of your life, which would get into prophecy, which we'll get into in just a little, in just a minute. The focus of your life needs to be more based out of discipleship right now. And so as you would be making those decisions as what's important, stay in school, don't drop that, right? Stay in school, but outside of that, prioritize the things that are going to help you grow in the Lord. And those opportunities that you say no to now are going to represent themselves even fivefold in the future. So just have peace that in this time, and really press into the Lord. Lord, what are those things that I need to give up? Right. So are you guys able to see that the difference between kind of words of knowledge, something that there's no way I could know, and words of wisdom, what to do with that? Maybe we'll do a little bit more of that in a bit. We'll see. The next one, number three, is prophecy. And prophecy is to hear from God for a person or people and to actually speak out what that's saying. So some people say, I had this thought for the people, and then that was prophecy. But prophecy requires that you actually hear from God and then you speak it, right? This whole past series that we talked about controlling the tongue, it's important that we actually use our tongue, right? We want to steward the words that we say, and even the words that we don't say can be important. Right? So it's important that you actually speak it for it to be prophecy. And you can hear words from God internally or externally. Like when I gave my life to the Lord, right? How far do I go? Well, there's some of you who haven't heard my story yet. So when I gave my life to the Lord, I was a drug addict. I was depressed. I had tried to commit suicide a number of times. I ended up pulling a gun on somebody, and the cops kind of packed in around me, took me to Snohomish County Jail. I'm sitting there in the jail cell, and I had just this encounter with God. I cried out and said, God, are you real? Are you real? And I heard his voice right then and there. I still, to this day, I debate whether or not it was an internal voice or an external voice, whether I heard his voice like out loud, like you're hearing me now, or in my heart. I still debate that. But you can see both of those. And I gave my life to the Lord right then and there. I got out of jail on a Saturday, I want to say. Went to church with my dad on a Sunday. They happened to be having water baptisms. I got in the water, was baptized, and just completely transformed. I had scars from cutting, and they disappeared. The Lord miraculously healed me. Just incredible, right? Praise God. I want to hear more of these stories. Oh, please, Lord, right? More of those stories. Oh, yeah, we can give that a hand. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We see the different people rising up in prophetic voices throughout the entirety of Scriptures. We see that in the Old Testament, and we see it in the New Testament. We talked a little bit about this last week, with Agabus in the New Testament church. And Agabus, they're all in a prayer meeting and hanging out and praising Jesus. And Agabus ends up saying, I think we're supposed to send Paul and Paul's partner, it's right there. Barnabas, thank you. We just threw out a whole bunch of names. Jesus? Yeah. You're probably right. That's what I've declared here, right? And says we should probably send them to go on their missionary journey, right? So that was the Lord speaking through him at the time, a word of prophecy about what their lives were supposed to be focused on in that time. And so words of prophecy can strengthen us. They can encourage us. They can comfort us and confirm us. I just remember, especially in the earlier years of forming my own life, I'm like seeking God and saying, what do you want me to do? What needs to be the focus of my life? I was going to Everett Community College to either do the nursing program or do a transfer to UW and try to get into med school. Or what am I going to do, God? And I kept feeling him saying, you're going to be in ministry. You're going to be in ministry. And I'm like, that's a far way off from what I'm doing right now, but okay. And I just I kept after it, but you know, you get to those points where you're like, God, what do you want me to do? And you feel like he's speaking, but you're like, I don't want to get this wrong, right? This is kind of a big deal. I mean, it's kind of my life, on levels of small and big. That's a big one, right? And so I say, God, just confirm somehow, speak through someone else or any other means. I mean, put a TV show on about it, like give, you know, something, confirm. And go to a service the following day and someone sitting next to me is just like, hey, Ben, I really feel like you're going to be in ministry. Something simple, right? And to me, it's encouraging that such a small word can have such a great impact because it's from God, right? And one word from God can transform a life. Prophetic words can strengthen, encourage, exhort, comfort, confirm, and even reveal. And I want to, let's try and squeeze in one more. The gift of faith. And this one's often confused because the Bible talks a lot about faith. I don't know if we're reading the same Bible, but mine says faith a lot, right? It's talking about faith a lot. And when it gets to the manifestation gift of faith, it just kind of gets confused with a number of other references to faith. So the definition, the gift of faith is a specific impartation of confidence in God's power and promises that infuse supernatural courage to step beyond our normal limitations. And so the different kinds of faith. There's references in Acts 6, Acts 14, Acts 16, 2 Corinthians 13, you have the rest of them up there, to the faith, right? This is referring to the allegiance that all Christians are giving their lives to, right? We're all a part of the faith. The Bible refers to this in a number of different places. There's also saving faith, right? When we believe that Jesus was alive, that he was indeed crucified, that he was buried in the ground, that after 3 days he was risen again, and that he ascended into heaven to send the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in each believer. Come on, someone give me an amen. Amen. That's good stuff. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is transformative. That is saving faith. Amen. There's also general faith that the Bible talks about, that as we're believers, we are to have faith. And then there's the gift of special faith, this special impartation of faith. And it's hugely beneficial, I think. It causes us to receive, it causes us to be bold, and it causes us to persevere. I've got people who come beside me sometimes as I get discouraged, and I believe the Holy Spirit gives them the gift of faith for that moment to just say some things like, in my toughest times, just someone come beside me and say, Ben, I believe that you're the man for the job. This is you. God is empowering you in that specific moment. And it's just like, boom, something comes alive in me. I believe that when I declare the transformation that I want to see here on Casino Road, and I say it in faith, I walk down the street every single week over the past 2 months-ish, with exception to the 2 weeks where I was gone, I walk down the street and I pray and I see what is going on within this community. I'm on like four or five different things on Facebook that tell me the news of Casino Road. And man, there's shootings and there's drugs and there's all of this going on. There's gangs. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I believe that God is going to transform this area. And I believe that He's going to use us to be a part of it. I believe that as we rise up and stay up, that we're going to be those equipped ministers for this area to bring that exact change that needs to take place in this area. And I believe that by saying that, and some of you, as you hear that, it sparks something in you. And that's kind of the gift of faith coming out. It increases that faith in you. And you're like, yes, we are going to do that because that's what God said He's going to do. It looks impossible in the physical, but in the spiritual, nothing's impossible because nothing's impossible for God. That's not even in His vernacular.
Amen.
Preaching this morning. I think that's all we have time for this morning. We'll get into the other ones here next week. But I don't want us to wait till next week. Chris, you can go ahead and come as we begin to move towards the close. We don't have to wait till next week to experience these, right? To walk in these gifts, because I don't know, God's not waiting. Holy Spirit's not waiting.
He don't wait for nothing.
Amen.
Try to figure out our own lives. He says, don't worry about that. Do what I tell you.
That's right. That's right, man. We got to get you a microphone.
No, thank you.
All right. We'll work on that. But these gifts, just like anything else in our life, in our walk with the Lord, is reached and attained and walked in by faith. Do we believe that this is the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God, the God-breathed Word of God, His Word? And do we believe that what we just read is God's Word? Because it's in my Bible. It's in yours too? Praise God, we've got two of them in here. And if we believe that this is God's Word, then we believe that this is God's promises, and this is for each of our lives, because to each is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We each have the power to walk in this. And so, Father, I just freshly declare that this morning. Even over our flesh and our minds, which have even thought before this morning, that this is not possible, this is not for me. I just call us forward and call us up to rise up and to stay up as empowered men and women of God. Grateful that You don't withhold Your Holy Spirit from us or withhold these gifts from us. God, that we would be able to minister one to another as is needed within this body of Christ, within our church. And so this morning, I just want to leave a moment for each of us to say, to think on those things that have stuck out this morning and ask the Lord to solidify them in our hearts. Ask Him to solidify this in your heart. God, You are the Sovereign One of creation. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Undefeated One. And You will remain undefeated, as it is written in Your Scriptures. You are victorious. And in You, we get to be victors as well. God, I pray over just struggles in our own life right now. I just see some of us struggling through some tough decisions. Tough decisions that are actually big in our life. And I know that to be true of some of us, but I believe there are more of us that this applies on a larger level. And Father, I just pray that You would give that wisdom needed to make those decisions. God, I pray that where we need boldness to just step into the unknown, that we would step in. Stir in us, God. I pray for a fresh filling of Your Holy Spirit for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm really enjoying this teaching series with you guys. I'm really enjoying just seeing us light up and empowered for Jesus and His glory. So look forward to keep talking about it next week. Until then, go in power.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.